Hello and welcome to episode 408 of the LeagueCast podcast. I'm your host, Nick Thinky Cooper. Joining me, Aiden Frost Rockhards.
Heyo, what's good?
And Colton Blue Basket Sweat.
Howdy, y'all.
Ooh, what time is it, Colton?
It's high noon.
Oh my, you're so good at being Texas now.
Yeah, thank you.
Wow.
Thank you.
Well done. Hey, this week we're going to talk about the patch that just came out, 9.24. It's kind of a big one. Not with changes, but with a lot of other stuff. So we'll talk about all of that. Some Louis Vuitton League merch. Riot Forge. We've got a couple reviews. We're going to be talking about Riot Trunamir's tweet from... It's been a couple months now. But something that we've wanted to talk about for a while and just haven't really gotten around to. Got a roundtable question. And then we're going to round it out with some emails. But first, Aiden, how was your week?
My week was good. I'm finishing up my last week of the semester.
Yeah.
It's actually pretty light for the most part. I've kind of like been like narrowing down the stuff I have to do. I only have one assignment left, which we were talking about before. It's the fourth part of that four-part assignment.
Is that due Thursday then? Tomorrow?
Sunday.
Sunday, okay.
Yeah, so I have a couple days left to do that. It's just like I'm turning everything I've already done, which is like, I don't know, 50 to 70 pages of work into... a like presentation sort of thing, like a 20-minute presentation, so it shouldn't take too long. It's definitely easier than actually writing up those like papers and stuff, so I'm pretty excited to be done that. I'm thinking about getting back into League a little bit. I haven't played at all really. I'm kind of itching though to play some. I really want to learn how to play a Nivea mid like properly, because I always liked a Nivea. I've just never been able to like pick her up that well, I think.
Yeah.
Nice. Other than that, been playing just like some Pokemon and stuff like that. It's just been kind of a slow week. A new Sea of Thieves update came out today, so I'm going to play some of that later tonight. Oh, and I've also been playing through Halo Reach's campaign with our friend of the show, Alex Whitehair. So, yeah. That's about it, though. I haven't really done too much.
Nice.
What about you, Colton?
Yeah.
So, gaming-wise, I've been playing a decent amount of League, some Sea of Thieves, not Sea of Thieves, sorry, Raft. The other aquatic game.
Basically the same game.
Basically the same game. PUBG, you know, pretty much usual suspects for me. Have been playing a few ranked games, just like looking, poking around at the current meta. So some, I guess, new jungle characters that I think are really strong right now that I'd want to talk about. But I think we'll do that more in like the champion spotlight area. Aside from that, just, you know, getting ready to, you know, get things all set for school in the spring semester, which means dealing with the government on FAFSA and student loans and shit, which is just terrible. Fun. And it's real bad, and I hate it. Bureaucracy is a pain in the ass. But anyway, other than that, that's really it for me, I guess. Not too much going on down here. It's been like a brisk 40, 50 degrees, so basically frozen wasteland down here.
Oh.
you poor thing.
Yeah, I know, right? But yeah, that's pretty well it for my week. Nick, what have you been up to?
Yeah, pretty much this past week preparing for finals. I have taken both of them now, but I still have another class tomorrow. So that was very fun. Our professor said she, physically could not grade all of the exams within the probably like 24 hour period that the school gives between the Thursday class and the Friday due date. But she graded the exams, in probably less than 12. So very cool. I'll just have to go to class on Thursday and get ridiculed for everyone getting pretty low scores. But it'll be fun. Played quite a bit of ARAM this week, and that's pretty much it. Just been chilling, continuing on that Fire Emblem grind. I'm probably about halfway through the game now, so still enjoying that very much.
Is your emblem on fire yet?
No, not yet. Not yet. That's soon, though. That's okay, I think that's cool. In the next chapter, yeah. But mostly excited for I think the Witcher series on Netflix. I got a notification that it was coming soon, so looking forward to that. But yeah, I think that's pretty much it. So let's jump into the show. We had one new patron this past week. Is that Gyarados? Gyarados?
I think it's just, is it just Gyarados? Isn't that how you spell Gyarados?
Is it?
Is that not how you spell Gyarados?
That's Giorno, Giovanni.
Well, I thought that's how you spell spelled it. Oh, Gyarados.
I think it's
Gyarados.
I think it's how you spell Gyarados.
Yeah, you know who you are. Thank you for your support. next up, in the Rising news, let's go straight into, so we got a patch, but we're going to go straight into the TFT patch. Yeah. So why don't you give us a quick little rundown, Aiden?
I'll give us a quick little rundown. So the main things that are changing in this patch, they're kind of changing some infrastructure stuff, and they're also adding a new class type, which is called Soulbound. So Soulbound is a two-link tier combination. It's when the first Soulbound champion... the first Soulbound champion to die will instead continue fighting as an untargetable spirit until all other Soulbound champions are dead. So the two Soulbound characters that they're releasing are Senna and Lucian. Lucian being a light Soulbound character and Senna being a shadow Soulbound character. I think the mechanic itself is super cool, though. Like, you have these, like, one of them's, like, super stacked, or even both of them are super stacked. And then, like, if one of them dies, the other one just gets all their shit. Like, that's so cool to me.
That's super cool.
Senna's ability is her her Q, like the healing damaging beam thing, which I think is super, super cool. Instead of like healing them, I think it just buffs them in this, which is kind of cool. Lucian is getting his ultimate, which I think is way cooler than having his dash.
Hell yeah. It also looks like it does a trillion damage.
Yeah, so it's the damage on it is 10 plus 2x attacks per second. In bullet direction, dealing 20 to 50% of his attack damage, applying on hits and dealing 40 to 100 additional magic damage.
If you get a tier 3 Lucian, you win the game.
Yeah. It's just like a ton of shit.
Yeah.
And the other character they're adding is Amumu. They're adding another warden. He's an Inferno Warden. I actually think that rounds out both Inferno and Warden a lot easier. Getting 6 Warden kind of felt shitty a lot of the time, but now you have another option. And also Infernal felt like weird to get like more than just the 3 synergy. So
I feel like
it was kind of going to function like old Cho'gath, I guess, kind of similar to that. He just has a big AoE ult.
Okay, cool.
Do you see the scaling on Amumu's ulti?
Yeah, a lot of tier 5s have like goofy like final scaling.
Okay.
His is 150-250 then 1337. Like, for example, Lux's like final rank is 999, right? And Singe goes from like doing like 100 magic damage per second to like 300 to like 2000 or something, right?
Okay, because it's basically theory, impossible.
You need 9 out of the 10 of them.
Yeah.
In the pool, which is pretty ridiculous to ever get. But
you should win the game if you get that.
Exactly, and it gives like if you do have 7 of them, right, your enemies should be able to look over and go, holy shit, that guy has 7 whatever. I'm going to buy 2 of them, and then he can't do it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I feel like it's like actually kind of balanced. The other changes are they're doing some interface changes. They made the whole interface look a lot cleaner. They added in the chances to get certain tier units based on whatever level you are, which is nice because a lot of people used overlays to do stuff like that. So hopefully they'll eventually phase in all the stuff that overlays do and just phase it into the game. The only other thing they're really missing is having like a full like item breakdown chart that like you could have in game. But it's an improvement. I'm glad they're continuing to make the game like cleaner. Also, dumb change. They switched where the refresh and the XP bars are for some reason.
That's dumb.
I don't know why.
Like they just flipped those two buttons on the same area.
I don't understand. Yeah, the exact same area, they just flipped them. And they even said, flip the location of XP and refresh bars.
Careful. Yeah.
Like, why not just not change it?
Yeah.
I don't know. That's silly to me. But whatever. Other than that, just like a couple like small changes to certain classes. None of them seem like they're game-breaking different. I think like the shadow was changed to like just fit the game better. But for the most part, none of them are really... It's not going to make or break any of them, I think. Same with like the actual like characters. I think the Tark buff is important. I think Tark's still a bad unit, but for the most part, everything's like balanced in the right way. This feels like the most balanced set. Feels way more balanced than last set, with the exception of Zed being a little bit too strong and Singe being a little bit too strong.
Isn't Olaf like quite strong as well? if you get them rolling.
Yeah, but like once you can play like any type of class is what I mean.
Gotcha.
Like Glacial Berserker is really strong with Olaf, but you can also play mages, you can play Shadow, you can play Light, you can play whatever. Everything feels good.
Okay. Gotcha.
So, yeah, overall it's super balanced. I'm really enjoying it.
Cool. Nice. And that's going to take us into the league patch that accompanied it. Colton and I are going to run down this real quick. Yeah, so first up, we've got the new champion, Aphelios. He is out right now, I believe. I believe he's live for 7,800 blue essence. So very cool. And then we'll get into actual like
very
champion changes.
Yeah. So Akali, they removed the hitbox behind her, so the Q only goes forward. Q minion and monster damage increase. So it does more damage to minions and stuff, and it no longer hits things behind her.
It does less damage to monsters and minions.
Oh, decreased. Sorry. Less damage and doesn't hit things behind her. That's good.
Yeah. Amumu buffs. Ooh, Colton, you excited? Cooldown decreased early, so it looks like it's shaved 2 seconds at level one, and then scaling down back to its normal state early or later.
Nice.
Pretty cool.
Braum, base health per level and health regen are increased. W cooldown has been decreased. Resistances to ally and to self have been flattened with his W. Ultimate base damage has been increased, and also the knockup lasts longer. So buffs all around the board, really, for Braum.
Yeah.
But small ones.
Small ones, but enough to probably push him into, like, S tier, I think.
Ooh, actually, wait a second. The ultimate knockup has gone from 0.25 to 1 up to 1.5 based on distance.
For the first target hit.
For the first target. Everything else. Okay.
Oh, so everything else is knocked up for less. So it's kind of like a single target thing now-ish.
Well, so everything is knocked up the same as it used to do, but the first target is 4 times longer.
Yes. Okay. Yes.
So yeah, the first person you hit with Braum ulti now gets stunned for a long time. Everyone else gets the short knockup that it used to be.
Yes. Okay. So yeah, buffs all around. Diana, visual FX and sound FX updated. Lunar Rush and Moonfall now switched keys. Passive now grants attack speed. She looks fucking nuts, and I'm very excited to try her.
Quick I just want to say a quick little undocumented thing that they don't mention in there. I saw the ARK second video on Reddit. Her Moonlight refreshes her dash even when the target dies to the Q now.
Oh.
So meaning you can queue the minion, like you can queue a minion, right? And then you can dash to it. And as you're dashing to it, the queue can kill it and you'll have the refresh on your dash. So you can like double dash to people like really far away.
That's kind of nuts.
That's a really cool interaction. Damn, that's like huge for the character.
Very excited to see like this in pro play, really. Nice.
I'm excited to see the pros play it, and I can't wait to be banning it in every one of my solo queue games because I don't want to play against it. Garen, additional E spins and spin damage decreased. So he does less damage per spin, and the number of spins he gets has been decreased.
Yeah.
Okay, so yeah, though before you, I mean, and still, attack speed increases the number of spins you get. They've just lowered that ratio.
Yeah.
So that attack speed Garen build doesn't get crazy spins.
Karma, E base shield is increased. Slowly buffing Karma back up.
Yeah. Kassadin, they finally addressed this character.
I'm glad they did something about this fucking menace.
This menace.
Tormenting my solo queue.
Obviously, they addressed the things that are too strong. And by that, we're talking about his Q cooldown has been increased at early levels, the cooldown. And then, really, the biggest problem with Kassadin has always been how much mana he gets back from his W.
So fucking dumb.
And it's less at higher ranks. It's like 2% less of his missing mana. So that's pretty massive.
Yeah.
Definitely not that Conqueror is fucked right now or anything, but...
Yeah, we'll see Conqueror changes.
At least they finally, you know, just put his W into like a reasonable area.
Brought this obscene champion back into line. Rammus, base health growth is increased. The E cooldown now scales. So a nice little tiny buff for Rammus.
Yeah. Ryze, his Q base damage has been decreased by 15. Looks like across the board, that's actually pretty big. But he was also crazy strong, so happy to see some nerfs.
Crazy strong and pickable in basically every role.
Yeah.
Senna, recommended items have been updated. Her passive kind of wraiths drop less often when she kills minions and no longer drop from champion clones. Her Q damage and her W root duration has been decreased, and the ultimate damage ratio has been increased, and it's only for AP. It's not for AD. So pushing her more into the support role like they want.
Mm-hmm. Sivir, big change. They added 2 base attack damage.
Kind of a big change. I feel like her Q and her W scale so well with like just flat attack damage that it actually could like be meaningful.
I mean, 2 AD like at the beginning of the game actually means something, yeah. But it's just it's really fun when you see changes like this where she's like, "Oh, 2 AD, that's it."
Yeah.
And it's changes that I wish I saw more often.
Yeah. Same.
And that's the biggest thing, right? Is that I want to see this on like 15 to 20 characters every patch where they have this real minor change, just like, all right, we gave Lee Sin 1 armor. We gave, you know, Kalista 0.05 attack speed. Like, just these tiny changes to really tune things in that you don't see often enough, I think.
Yeah, something to bring in, like, champions who are just a couple percentage points, like, win rate lower than they should be or higher than they should be. Be a good way to handle it, but... on to Yumi. Passive restores mana once again. The Q cost has been increased. The damage has decreased. Yumi will no longer teleport with the champion she's anchored onto. Her E now grants attack speed. It no longer has charges, and it now costs much more mana. So what do you guys think about these Yumi changes? Because I kind of like them, but I've seen a lot of people complaining about them.
I am mostly on board with these. I like the idea. It seems like what they're really going for is that Yumi is there to be like, I'm going to help you fight better, and not I'm gonna sit there and poke and heal you and just make the lane unplayable, like non-interactive. I'm much more on board with a character that's like, I'm going to attach onto you and make you stronger while you're fighting, as opposed to like, lol, I'm poking them from a distance and healing you forever and ever, and there's nothing they can do about it.
Yeah.
There's 2 like little changes that I think are super important. They're both on her W. First being the channel time. I think adding a 0.25 second channel time to attaching is huge.
Mm-hmm.
I think it like adds counterplay to the character. I also think when you immobilize Yumi now, it places that ability on a 5 second cooldown. I think that's huge. Meaning, I think if you like hook Yumi, CC her, whatever, she can't use her W for 5 seconds.
I think that's a good way to handle it, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
Like if you're gonna get caught out and like misplay, then you should be punished for it.
That being said, also taking away like her, I get to teleport with you.
Yeah.
Again, it was never like broken, but it was just like really, she's already good enough. Like, she doesn't need to be get a free teleport back to lane or be able to like poke and then W onto somebody while they're recalling and shit. I interested to see what this does to Yumi in terms of actual play, if we'll see more of it. Lux, some visual effect stuff, nothing crazy important.
So on to runes. Conqueror, the buff duration has been decreased. And the heal for ranged champions is now decreased as well. So touching Conqueror, and specifically for ranged characters, which is super good.
Yep. I still think it's probably a little strong.
Yeah.
On melee characters, because this really didn't change any... the duration from 8 seconds down to 6. Or is that only for ranged characters?
I believe that's for everyone.
Okay, so 8 down to 6... Still, though, it's so fucking good on certain characters. Anyway, Omnistone, we're adjusting it a little bit to what make it smarter at giving you the right keystone at the right time. So it's just basically what you get is going to change adaptively based on your build, it looks like. So things like you'll get the glacial augment more often if you have an item that actually procs it.
Also, I mean, there are other things. Like, if you're near a low health enemy champion, it's more likely to give you Dark Harvest, stuff like that. So there are a bunch of things. Definitely would recommend taking a look at it, and it also seems a lot better.
Yeah.
So, very cool. And then, what is ICYME?
In case you missed
In case you missed it. There's a bunch of follow-up changes for preseason stuff, but we're gonna skip over that because we have probably already talked about them. So, Return of the Poro King. Poro King's back. Also, I believe it is now moving to... Yes, it's all random, so it's using the same random champ select process as ARAM, rather than getting to pick your champions like you did previously. What do you guys think about that? I never played too much Poro King.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. It seems fine.
Yeah.
I think it's better. I prefer the random than picking characters.
I agree.
Apparently, a lot of people don't think that way. There's been a lot of hate, but I mean, I don't know. Like, I feel like people just assume that's what they want or what the general community wants, but I don't think that's the case. But who knows? I always enjoyed it. I thought it was just like a slightly better version of ARAM. So now it literally is just slightly better version of ARAM. So cool.
Then a bunch of ARAM changes, some things about username changes, a lot of bug fixes, and then we've got 13 skins being released with this patch, which might be the most ever. Wouldn't be surprised. So we're going to run through them real quick. Dawnbringer Karma, Dawnbringer Nidalee, Dawnbringer Soraka, Nightbringer Soraka, Nightbringer Lee Sin, and that comes with a Prestige Edition. Nightbringer Vladimir, Nightbringer Aphelios, Sugar Rush Zillion, Sugar Rush Braum, Sugar Rush Ziggs, Sugar Rush Evelyn, and Hextech Swain. So very cool. Very cool stuff. Yeah.
I just saw the Sugar Rush Braum one. I love that one too.
Yeah, it's a good one. They have chromas at the very bottom for Zillion Colton, so you can see what the Zillion one looks like in game. Looks pretty sick, I think.
Dude, that hair! That ice cream hair!
Ice cream hair. I like his, like, kind of like waffle back piece.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, super cool.
Definitely going to be picking that up.
Yes. So yeah, that was patch 924. So let's jump into the rest of the news. We had Louis Vuitton League merch. Did you guys get a chance to look at this before it sold out?
No.
Yeah. I took a look. It was okay. I was not blown away by any of them.
Were you allowed to put your rank on it?
I don't think you were. It also cost $1 billion for everything, basically.
I thought the watch looked cool, but everything else was pretty average.
Yeah, the watch was nice. The watch was nice, but yeah, everything else just kind of okay. I also was kind of a fan of the shoes. I know that got a lot of hate, but I thought they were cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, so cool to see that stuff coming out. And then Riot Forge. So Aiden, you want to tell me about that? Or
yeah, so Riot Forge is their partnership with like other developers to make League of Legends games that are like published by third parties. So meaning another studio can like have the rights to make a League of Legends game, right? So there's rumors that the first one's going to be announced at the Game Awards tomorrow night, Thursday night, the 12th. Which I think is going to be super cool. People are saying it's going to be a single-player League of Legends based game, developed not by Riot, but I'm super excited. I feel like this is a great idea. Like, they have a huge IP. There's plenty of people who would like to use their IP for good stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. I think this is super cool. I've seen the comparisons to... what was the one that I saw that was super good? Oh, LucasArts? How every single Star Wars game used to be made, like, published by LucasArts. So sort of like that, where Riot Forge will allow other studios to publish through Riot Forge and allow them to use that IP. So very cool. Very exciting.
Yeah, it's huge.
Yes. You know what else is huge? These reviews.
They're
first
one.
They're massive. First they're one. 5 out of 5 stars.
5 stars is from 44 Fork, who says, 5 stars, best pod. I made a delicious shrimp atufi? Atufi?
Yeah.
I don't know. Do you recommend 10 out of 10? What does that mean? I'm gonna look up this word.
It's probably a type of food.
Yeah, it's French for sure.
Yeah.
It's a dish found in both Cajun and Creole cuisine, typically served with shellfish over rice. Nice.
Of course.
It looks pretty good.
The next one's called, titled Yeehaw. It's from KSKDFKFLFLDLLFLFL.
Nice.
It's 5 stars, and he says, one morning I shot an elephant in my pajamas. How he got in my pajamas, I'll never know.
Aiden, I'd like to just say your delivery, on point.
Yeah, you like your timing is pajamas fantastic. Two different ways as yeah. well.
That was the funniest part.
Next one is from Shaco's favorite clone, titled Best League Podcast, period. I've been listening for around 6 months now. I get so hyped when new episodes are released. I had LeagueCast tied with another podcast as my all-time favorite, but recently the Naruto chat time has pushed it to number one. Thanks for the laughs, my guys. Well, there you go. You guys heard it here in 5 stars, so Naruto talk staying on the show permanently unless we get 25 more 5-star reviews that say
$25,000.
Yeah, $25,000 alongside those reviews.
That's short.
Thank you so much for the review, Shaco's favorite clone. Glad you're enjoying it. Glad you found us. And yeah, Naruto talk can be some good times.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do we have anything to talk about Naruto real quick? This seems like an appropriate point.
I just played like more Ultimate Ninja Storm 4. Yeah. It's good. It's a good game. I also watched the World Finals from last year for that game.
Who are some of the good characters?
They're all the same pretty well.
Oh, they're all the same? Okay, cool.
I mean, they're not all the same, but like I don't think there's like a tier list. Yeah. Like I'm sure there is a tier list, but it's very like not really matters. You know what I mean?
Gotcha. Like, okay.
It's very similar, I think.
That's good. I think. Well, balanced game if every game is every character is the same. cool. Hey, let's talk about the Riot Trend Number tweet.
So, hell yeah, from August.
Yes. Oh, was it only August? I thought it was like June or
August
something.
August 26th.
Jesus. Okay. So you want to read the tweet real quick?
So just like the context here is that this is in the midst of like all of Riot's like controversies they went through with like the just like they had a bunch of shit. We didn't talk about a lot of it on the show because it was like kind of up in the air. But there's some like shady shit going down at the company. Bald happing, farting, all that good stuff. Anyways, this was like the midst of it, and Riot Trendemir, the owner / founder of Riot, him and Brandon Beck, he said, he tweeted, "Never stop being a good person because of bad people." But fair tweet, a little bit. The timing is like, you understand what he's trying to get across, but whatever. And then I Will Dominate responded with, "Yeah, just sucks when the bad people work for the company that your career is based off of." And then Riot Trendemir responded with, "Grats on having a career revolving around the free game we made." Yeah, that's a yikes.
Pretty funny, I'll be honest.
Yeah.
Pretty funny scenario.
And so, like, I guess there's more context to this. Like, this isn't the first time he said something similar. Back in, like, I don't know, like 2015, everyone knows the Love Me Some Reggie meme. That started from, like, a very similar thing. Where Reginald, the owner of TSM, was tweeting that like Riot really doesn't support like the scene enough, right? And the original quote from Riot Trendemir responding to that was, "Love me some Reggie, but if he's so concerned with the financial health of his players, maybe he should spend some more of his millions that he's made / makes from League of Legends on paying them instead of investing in other esports where he's losing money." So it's a very similar ideology there, right?
Yeah, very similar tones.
And I think at least all of us are of the same mindset that that's a crazy opinion to have. Like, I understand where it's coming from, like the idea of like, we made this game and you have your career because we made this game, but holy shit, that's such a terrible take.
Yeah, it's sort of like, we made this thing so you can't criticize us because your career is based on this.
Mm-hmm.
When these are the people who should be criticizing it the most.
Yeah, like they have a unique perspective based on actual like concrete experience mm-hmm. with this thing. And yeah, it's just like, as much as, you know, he is the creator of the game, right? Like, it has evolved into something beyond anyone. Like, League of Legends isn't like owned anymore, even though like obviously it is by a corporation, right? They're still making the money, but it's just like League of Legends is a game that millions upon millions upon millions of people interact with constantly, and like it's everybody's at this point, especially because it's a free-to-play thing. Like, everyone's got a hand in it, even though, like, yeah, you fucking whatever, you made it, but it's just like you can't just claim ownership on like everything that comes out of it.
Yeah,
down the line, like that's not how that works.
Yeah, for sure. And kind of like giving that sort of negative feedback to the people who have based their careers off of this is a little scary.
Because
mm-hmm. what if they just? I mean, what if Tryndamere just took? I'm gonna make an extreme example for the sake of the argument. But what if he just said, "All right, Dom, you can't use our property anymore." Like,
yeah.
If you're gonna criticize us, like, you're not allowed to play League anymore. Like, and they have the right to do that, but that seems mm-hmm. like, I don't know. That seems like that tweet and the, I guess that set of tweets seems like a very early step on that path, and not that it'll ever happen or hopefully will ever happen, but sort of that like
yeah.
very beginning tone of that.
I think that's really much more of like a gut check for him as an individual. And like, that's always the issue when there are individuals in large companies with a lot of voice and followers, is like sometimes they'll just say things and it'll be an emotional human reaction that is not probably really representative of the company, and is not even maybe representative of like what they really feel. But right, they just, when people get called out on Twitter, they're going to try and clap back. And I think that that's, like, just always going to be an issue, especially someone who, right, like, he's a gamer who grew up and then developed games. Like, he wasn't trained on how to be a public figure. That's, you know, not his background. So somebody calls him out. He's, right, like, we're all gamers. We roast the shit out of each other. Somebody calls you out, you flame them back.
This is a heater gamer moment.
It's just a gamer thing. But I guess, like, I don't know. I don't think it's like signaling anything bad's coming down the pipeline, but it could, I guess, be interpreted that way. Like, I see what you're saying, that if this train of thought were continued down, like there could be some pretty bad consequences if that's really the view that he and the company has.
Yeah. Yeah. Was there anything else we wanted to talk about this? I feel like it was just a quick little.
Yeah, it's just more the fact that that's like I think a bad mindset to have when you have, like, you could say that obviously these people's careers are based off like their creation, but also League got big because these people have made it into what it is, right? Like, that's
yeah.
kind of what I was touching on. It's just all these people who have, like, play your game, all these people who create content for your game, these people who commit their lives to esports for your game, all are part of the reason why the game is where it is today.
Yeah, for sure. It's I mean, that thing isn't, I mean, League is not as big as it is now if these people that he's criticizing decide not to, I don't know, not to promote it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Cool. Let's talk about, did we have something we want to talk about in Metakaiser? I know we mentioned that a little bit last week.
Yeah, last week Aiden wanted me to play some Jungle Syndra and give like an update on it. And I played, I think, 3 games of it. I think that
it did, you play it, did you
just
play
fine.
Them in ranked?
No. Okay. I think it clears the jungle just fine. Like, I think really with the current way the jungle works, and Hunter's Talisman in general makes basically any jungler viable, like, or playable and can clear. So she has pretty decent clear. I think her ganks are decent in that, like, if you do a 2v1 gank and you can hit your combo, yeah, great. She does a ton of damage, can follow up with CC, like, burst him down, good enough wave clear. I think 2v2 duels, especially if you're getting like jumped on, she's not great. And in general, like, I found the games that I played her team fighting to be very difficult because we didn't have like any front line. And part of that was because we had like damaged top laners and like non-engaged supports.
Yeah.
But I think it's very much a, you have to have the right team comp alongside it to make it work.
Sure.
That being said, I think it's definitely like playable, good. I just think it's kind of niche.
Okay.
Aside from that, I guess I'd want to mention, I think like current jungle is very much up in the air and that you can play just about anything. But if you haven't been following the jungle and want to try some things, I would recommend Olaf is nutty right now. I think he's probably top three, if not just the best jungler right now with Conqueror. And another one that I've had some fun with is bringing Mundo back to the jungle with Fleet Footwork. You get so fucking tanky and it's stupid. That being said, really any junglers are great right now. Like, it's so open. And there's a lot of different ways you can go between heavy farming, a lot of counter jungling, tons of ganking. Like, you have a lot of options.
Yeah.
So.
Nice.
That's my little monologue about the current jungle.
Hell yeah. Let's move into the round table. Okay. I don't think Aiden's back. He said he was going
to... That's fine. We can read
it. Yeah. All right. Last week's roundtable question was, what's the weirdest flame you ever received in game? Luke from Facebook said, the weirdest non-flame was when this dude in our game literally said he just found out his grandpa died and had to AFK, and I told our team that we were going to 4v5 and win it for him and his grandpa, and we ended up winning the game, and he came back like 30 seconds before we killed the Nexus, so it was awesome. He was super thankful. Or super grateful. Wow, what a... That's quite the league story. That's nuts.
Yeah.
Jesus. Okay. Thank you, Luke.
Next one is from Jeremy. In my last ranked game, I got flamed by our top laner for ganking and stealing his kill, even though it was both a counter... gank and let us secure first tower topside. He proceeded to call me trash all game while the other guys were complimenting my ganks and shot calling. It was weird. I've never had just one teammate giving me shade while the other teammates were cheering me on. It was like that one guy in the back, lol. Apparently, you don't jungle often, Jeremy.
Noah said, this is a quote from like his someone on his team. He said, when I say zero, you say five. Zero, an ally has been slain.
Yeah. That's pretty good.
It's funny. Yeah. And then Ashley said, was playing a pretty perfect ranked ADC game when my Warwick, who was getting counter jungled by the enemy Kha'Zix, was mad at me for doing well when he wasn't. I've seen that before though. Like if someone's like just down, like they're just pissed at everyone.
You just gotta bring someone down too.
Yeah. Then from our Discord, I grabbed a couple. T-Con J, he says, this one is super popular in China, and I was lucky enough to receive it myself. I don't remember the exact character. The translation led something to something like, I hope your mom lives a very long life, essentially meaning she'll outlive you. Blooper said, my jungler told me that I was going nowhere in life and that I'd never get a job, then flexed on me that he has a part-time job at Lowe's Home Improvement, and he might get promoted soon. Good on him, though, man. Life's looking up.
I hope so.
And then last but not least, Less Than Dennis said, so this happened a while back, but I was playing support J4 back when you ran Ardent Sensor and Airy. My ADC was flaming me whole game. He told me I had a small penis. Then when we hit six and got ganked, we pulled off a triple kill. Then he spent the rest of the game apologizing and telling me I had a big penis and tried to add me after the game. God bless. Good times. That's good.
Big dick energy.
This week's question, though, is what are your goals for season 10? Very simplistic.
I'm going to try and finally hit diamond in threes.
Yikes.
Ooh, you gotta catch that that cousin ride, like, pretty early on.
Yeah.
Nice. Very funny. I don't know. Maybe. All right. I'm going to set my goals pretty lofty. How about this one? Finish the season higher than Diamond 4.
Nick, are you in a good mood today?
Yeah, I'm in a good mood.
Okay, because the last 3 years, you've been hitting you've been hitting us with the, maybe I'll hit platinum this year.
I thought about it. I thought about saying like, oh, my goal is to play less leagues so I finish lower, so I don't have the pressure on myself. Now we're going to do it this year. Fucking,
yeah. Hell yeah. That's my, are you?
Hell yeah. Hell maybe.
Hell yeah.
How are you, Aiden?
I just want to learn characters that I want to play. I feel like just playing characters that I enjoy playing is like why I enjoy the game right now. Mm-hmm. So just like transitioning to like whatever I find the most fun right now, being Glacial Cho'Gath, whether it be Pyke, whether it be Anivia when I learn her, etc. I'm just going to focus on playing like characters I enjoy this season and see how well I do.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. For me, I'd say definitely I want to try and play a good amount of Clash in tournaments this year, because that's something I really enjoy and we haven't done recently and I would like to get back to in Season 10. Mm-hmm. I think by the end of Season 10, to finish the A to Z champion win on everyone, nice. I'm at Quirky right now.
Fingers crossed.
And I'd say try and get back to D1 at least at some point this season.
Yeah.
Like, I don't need to end there or be there for a long time, but just, like, I guess do a stint of me, like, tryharding and playing just, like, Kha'Zix and Zillion and stuff and be, like, remind myself that if I go full tryhard, I'm not actually hard stuck D4.
You're not washed.
I'm not washed up. I'm not washed up. I'm a little washed up.
I think we all are.
Yeah. But yeah, those are some of my goals for Season 10. Aiden, if they want to send in their goals, how do they do that?
You want to hit us up on our Facebook page, which is at LeagueCastPodcast, or send us an email, which is mail@leaguecastpodcast.com, or come into our Discord and post in our roundtable section.
Nice. All right, that takes us all the way to Mail Fight, where we have the first email from Austin Burns. Sorry, why did I say Barnes? And he said, hey guys, I just started listening to your show about a month ago, and it's great so far. Love hearing all your different thoughts about League and anime, of course. Anyways, I was just wondering about your opinion on Zazel being bank support for this upcoming season with Evil Geniuses. Do you think he was right/wrong pick for the team? And who would you like to see instead? And Cora JJ doesn't count. Thanks for the email, Austin.
Thanks for the stipulation. That would have been the end of discussion.
Yeah, I mean, basically, it's difficult. I feel like Zazel would be a good fit. I honestly think one of the two of Biofrost or Smoothie would be fine as well.
Mm-hmm.
But that's kind of like just the tier list of supports in NA. I don't know. I feel like Bang is the type of player who didn't excel last split because the meta wasn't safe it up and farm and then scale late into the game, which mm-hmm. he's kind of excelled on for most of his career. So probably just a support who can keep him alive for the most part.
Yeah, I'd say also I think, and I guess I don't really know this, but it seems to me that for a lot of Bang's career playing, he's been never really like the number one carry on a team. Mm-hmm. Like he's normally mm-hmm. the secondary or even the third, right, where he just needs to have like the opportunity to pop off, but it's not typically the one that's gonna be doing
it. Yeah.
I guess like my opinion, like, so I would say Core JJ, but for like a different reason than you say. But like, I think Ole fits in the same category. I think actually having like two people who speak the same language in a lane mm-hmm. like that is super important. Even if like you don't communicate overall on your team, like in English, having like two people who speak Korean, I think would be like a huge help for Bang, honestly. Like,
that makes sense.
Like,
yeah.
Honestly, Ole would make sense.
Yeah. Nice. All right. Thank you, Austin.
Next email is from Howling Wind. Subject, two questions. Hi, LeagueCast. This week I have two questions. How would you feel about slow projectile mechanics in the game? Would it be fun or just cancer? Give me 1 second, okay?
Sure. Yep. Two examples. It could work as target X with a curse, slow projectiles by X percent, or place down a zone where projectiles are slowed, similar in size, like an Echo W. I think it would be fun just to mess with hook characters. Question two. With all the Pokemon talk lately, it got me thinking. What console skins would you like for League of Legends? Just off the top of my head, Kirby... Oh, okay. Console character skins. Kirby, Tom Kench, Samus, Kaisa, W's a missile, and E, she becomes a ball. Ganondorf, Sejuani, humanoid Ganondorf riding on big form Ganondorf, Mortal Kombat, Scorpion, Blitzcrank, Howling Wind. Thanks for the email. The first, I would love a slow projectile mechanic in the game, and I think it should function as a zone, similar to Echo. I think that's a really good example of a character that it, like, I feel like it should function like that.
Mm-hmm. The slowest projectile in the game is Maokai-Alt, I think.
I'm going to throw up Skarner E after it's hit a couple.
I'm going to throw up right now. I'm going to fucking blow chunk.
I'm going to throw up. Just thinking that going any slower.
I apologize. I'm going to toss up. How about that? I'm going to throw that out. That was it. I'm going to throw up. I'm going to throw out Skarner E after it's hit a couple units. Because then it just snails along, dude.
There's not very many, right?
No.
There's not a lot of, like, really slow ones. I'm imagining, like, other things that can go really slow. Like, ooh. I'm thinking, what if, like, Nautilus alt got slowed by this thing, too?
Okay, hear me out. A zone that stops all projectiles for its duration, and then as soon as it expires, it just fucking shoots them all off. That's nuts. Huh. That's nuts.
It'd be terrible.
It'd be terrible, but super fucking fun.
I guess it's a more balanced wind wall, right?
Yes, I think so. So it, like, stops
them.
That's
probably fine.
Yeah, it stops them for a little bit, and then what if it, like, speed boosted them? To make it harder to play.
It just shot them out, like, really fast, yeah. After. Yeah. That'd be fun. It's literally just a worse wind wall, which is we don't want another wind wall in the game.
Yeah, healthier for the game, right?
Yeah.
Yes, no more.
Nice. Cool.
Pokemon talk, what console skins? You guys have any off the top of your head?
I don't know.
I could get on board with, like, a Spyro Shyvana.
Yeah. That'd be a good one. What's a character with a lot of... Ooh, Doomguy Aphelios? That's a good one, right?
Yeah.
That's really good.
I don't know. I, like,
it's hard.
Yeah, this is a difficult one. This would be a good roundtable question when we have, like, I guess you guys have more time to think.
Mm-hmm.
Kratos Pantheon? Boy.
Ooh, okay, I can see that.
Boy, what is this up dog?
I'm trying to think, like, which character in the game would be Master Chief. Like, Caitlyn?
That's so funny to say.
Master Chief Caitlyn. Maybe Aphelios, Master Chief Aphelios too.
Any character that has gun.
That has gun. Oh, Master Chief Any Lucian. Are you kidding me?
I wanted to say that, but Lucian already has so many good skins.
Yeah. Lucian, good character. Change my mind.
Yeah.
Disagree.
Scorpion Blitzcrank I'm a fan of, though. Definitely.
Yeah, that's funny. I love the fucking idea of Ganondorf Sejuani, which is human Ganondorf Sejuani riding on pig forms.
Yeah, that's so funny. It's just Ganondorf riding Ganondorf.
That's funny. That's some funny shit.
That's a good one. Cool. Thank you, Howling Wind.
Yeah, next email is from Chad. What a Chad.
Chad.
Those lyric and movie script reviews are super annoying. Of course, totally troll. It was cute the first time, but after that, it just gets irritating to hear. I've just had to skip over these parts of the last few pods. Sorry, guys, you can only handle so much. I don't think you need to please every listener, especially when it comes to reviews like that. You guys are awesome. Thanks for the time you put in. It's just a little feedback, which I think we all agreed with, where it's like, it was funny for one, but
it was
reciting the B-movie on a show.
It was funny the first time.
Content.
It'd be funny the second time, I think, if we got one review that was the B-movie, like a follow-up from someone who started where he left off. But yeah,
7 months from now, yeah.
3-in-1 episode, yeah, not great. So don't do that. We won't pick in them, I guess, to read. But yeah, at the same time, like, I don't know. People are just having fun. Thanks, Chad.
No fun allowed.
Next email from Speedy Spikes. Howdy, gents. With Clash coming this weekend, and this being my first time doing it, I was hoping to get some insight from you guys. What is pick ban phase like? Is it like LCS or like typical draft games? Do you have any tips on how to conduct the scouting? What are some things to look for other than most played slash highest win rate? What would be your biggest piece of advice besides the standard have fun? Thanks a bunch, Speedy Spikes.
Didn't we already discuss this one last week?
Did we?
I don't think so.
I don't think so.
It seems really familiar, but maybe not.
Especially
because Clash was last weekend.
I think it's also this weekend, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, anyway, we can still talk about it.
Yeah. So pick ban, is it? I don't remember. I've only done it the one time that we did
it. It's LCS pick ban.
I thought so. Yeah, LCS pick ban. I guess that answers question one. How do we conduct phasing or scouting? Why did I say phasing? What the fuck?
Their actual scouting is like fine. Like they show you, their win rates on characters and ranked plus their rank. They show you their highest mastery characters, and then they show you their win loss and characters they played in their last Clash games.
Yeah.
So like that's fine, but also just look them up on op.gg. Like there's a lot more information you can gain from that, I think.
Yep. Some other things to look out for in general. First priority one is tricks. To ban out one tricks. And then second priority would be ban out the smallest champion pool or the worst player.
That's I was gonna say that ironically, but also unironically. I think banning out their lowest elo player is number one, hilarious. Number two, very effective.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. If you put somebody who only plays like three characters and is bronze on a character they've never played before,
yeah,
they're gonna do a lot worse than someone who's diamond and playing a character for like the first or second time.
Yeah. Nice. So
I played Clash last weekend, right?
Oh, how'd you do? How'd you guys do?
We won the first time, and then we won the like losers bracket the second time.
Gotcha. Okay.
But our one loss, right? So they had a diamond play, like a high diamond play. I think he was diamond two, right? And so we banned out his main. He mained like he plays everything though, right? But we banned out like his Riven, we banned out like his other thing, and we banned out like a different character on for a different player, right? We're like, okay, we got him. He's not gonna play his mains, whatever, right? He picks Fizz and shits in Trevor for like fucking 10-0s in lane, right? Because as we were loading into champion select, we clicked on his profile on op.gg, and for the last like 800 games, he's only been playing Fizz in normal.
Yikes.
Like, actually, though, his match history was only Fizz, like, for, like, months.
Jesus Christ.
Like, so that's why you look into their profiles.
Yeah, there you go. So, yeah, I'd say another thing, just in general, you're probably going to be playing Clash with your friends. It's competitive, but don't let that get you tilted or, like, flaming each other. And I guess that's part of, like, have fun, but don't flame your friends. If you lose, it's okay. It's not the end of the world. You just didn't get, like, an icon.
Yeah.
Flame them after the game. It's, like, fun to, like, banter about it. Because that game was 100% on Trevor for losing. So, like, we didn't flame him during the game, but after we, like, just fucking, like, memed on him, right? Like,
yeah.
Fucking.
To be fair, did you guys not look at him up, like, at all?
We just looked up his, like, rank stats, right? We looked up his rank stats. We saw that he's good at, like, everything. He played, like, he had, like,
yeah.
He was level, what's the mastery thing? Your mastery level? Whatever, like, the yeah. amount of mastery thing. He mastery was 720 points? Something.
Oh, shit. Like, seven, so, wait. Oh, 720, okay, like, gotcha.
Mastery levels or whatever it is, right?
Total mastery score.
Yeah, which is insane. That's like, nuts. He plays everything. So we just banned out his, like, a couple main things. And then yeah. he had zero games of Fizz in ranked for the last, like, 3 years. But he's just been playing him in normals for like 3 months.
He's preparing for this one particular Clash game.
Oh, it's fucking funny though.
Yeah. Nice. Thank you, Speedy Spikes.
Yeah. Next email is from Alex P. What's the deal with these gemstones? I don't remember when gemstones came out, but I started in season 5. I have 605 games played in season 2018, 930 games in season 2019. But I only have 9 gemstones. Do you know what the drop rate is for them? Because I feel like I should have gotten 10 by now.
Very
also
fucking low. Sorry.
It's pretty low, yeah. Also, can you name the movie this quote is from? I'm the dude playing the dude disguised as another dude.
It's Tropic Thunder. It's Robert Downey Jr.
It is Tropic
as Kirk Thunder. Lazarus.
Yep. Is it?
Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Huh. Robert Downey Jr. is Kirk Lazarus. Aiden fucking nailed it.
Wow. Okay. I had no idea.
When was the last time you watched Tropic Thunder, Aiden?
8-9 years ago.
Yeah, right, same. Good movie, though.
Yeah.
Fun movie. I don't know if it's actually
wouldn't
good,
be made today. But... Let's go to that one.
Oh, absolutely not.
Okay, so yeah, the drop rate's pretty low. One thing I would say...
It's 4%, by the way.
I would say is that a lot of people, I don't think, maximize their chests or keys, where mm-hmm. you have to be playing a lot of unique characters to be getting a lot of those chests.
And also well.
And well.
Or queue yeah. up with people who are good at those characters, are good at the characters that they're playing.
That also works. Also then, like, buying a bunch of keys during events instead of maybe, like, the boxes or the orbs. Because I know for a long time I was just sitting on, like, 30 chests that were unopened. Whereas I know some people have the opposite problem where they have so many keys because they only play, like, 2 or 3 characters. So if you're playing a lot of diverse characters well, you'll get a lot of chests. And if you play the game often, you should get a lot of keys. And really, at that point, it's just a numbers game of, you know, I guess, that 4% drop rate. You need to open a lot of chests. So that'd be, if it's 4%, you'd need to open, what, 400 chests?
It's pretty crazy.
No. 250. You have to open 250 chests.
Just get them as they come. They're now doing the thing where, like, during all the events, they're going to have, like, gemstones for you to get, like, during the event passes.
Gemstone deals,
which
yeah.
I think is super reasonable. Mm-hmm. Also, the Essence Emporium, if you're, like, a long-time player, you can buy them for, like, a ridiculous amount, but... I feel like they're starting to make it less ridiculous. They realize it's a little bit toxic.
Yeah, I think so as well. Especially with the amount of Hextech skins that they're releasing.
Mm-hmm.
You can realistically at this point, I think the highest, I don't know. If you're very lucky, you probably own, what, 4?
I think I have like 7 or 6.
You have I mean, like on one account?
Yeah.
Wow, that's nuts.
I have Vayne, Annie, Sivir.
Alistar.
Rammus, Alistar.
Sivir?
Poppy.
Wait, Sivir?
Sivir has the... it's a skin that you could buy with gemstones, but I just had it before, so I don't know if that counts.
Okay.
I'll go back on 5 if you want. And then I have Poppy, so I have 6.
Wow. Okay, that's
7
crazy.
If you include the Sivir.
I have 1. So that's cool. Yeah. Good luck. Alex, our last email is from... Who's this from? Ronald McDonald. Actually, I think we have 2. I think someone sent one in during the show. I'll make sure after this. Says, hello all. Since Senna and Aphelios came out in quick succession, I would like to give you guys a sneak peek at the next champion, Phil the Filler. Phil cannot be bought from the store. He is only available to pick if the summoner is autofilled or chooses Phil as his role. Lore. Phil is the only champion that is not affiliated with any of the current Runeterra regions. He originates from Philippines, but currently resides in Philadelphia, where he met his wife Phyllis, teaches as a philosophy teacher, and is an aspiring filmmaker. Passive necrophilia. When an enemy unit dies around Phil, he gains a small amount of syphilis, filling up to a max of 100, like a rage bar. His Q is philosophy test. He chucks a philosophy test in a straight line, dealing or damaging the first enemy hit. Champions hit by the philosophy test are confused by the complexity of it for a duration. All bonus attacks, all basic attacks, and damaging abilities have a 50% chance to inflict self-damage. Self-inflict damage, sorry. W, fill them with Phil's tunes. Phil plays music. Oh, my Lord. Phil plays music from his favorite singer, Phil Phillips. Philip Phillips. Music fills the rift for 15 seconds, disabling in-game sound effects for the enemy team. Phil also gains movement speed while the tunes are active. His E is Filthy Fish Fillet. Passive. When Phil steps in the river, he grabs a fish from the water. It has a 20-second cooldown. You can stack it up to 3 times. When you activate it, you chuck a fish fillet that explodes on impact, dealing AoE damage. After explosion, fish fillings scatter the explosion area. Fillings can be picked up by allies, healing for a small amount, sort of like Zach Blobs. And his ultimate is Syphilis Overfill. It's a global ability. Once his necrophilia bar is filled to the max, Phil can activate this ability. Once activated, Phil infects the whole enemy team with syphilis, dealing damage over time and applying grievous wounds. I think playing him will be very fulfilling What do you guys think best Ronald McDonald? I feel like I said that, like, I said the word Phil so many times that it lost its meaning.
Yeah.
Yes. Very clever. But difficult to say.
Do you guys actually see the next character that comes out?
And then we have one last email from, thank you, Ronald McDonald. I like this idea of a champion named Phil. And your many different uses of Phil was impressive. Next email is from Levi, and he has another champion concept. This week's champion concept is Oaklaria. Passively, it gains movement speed while under turret range for both allies and enemies. Q is Crippling Blow, swings her blade a short distance in front of her, dealing AoE magic damage and putting one mark on the enemy. More marks, more damage. W is Fading Whisper. This ability grants her the ability to mark an enemy champion on the last mark, which is 4, she gains a burst of magic damage with the last auto attack. Also, when the last mark, when the final mark is procced, she goes invisible for 1 second. Okay. Her E is Sand Sprint, dashes through enemies, marking them once. The dash gets bigger depending on her HP. If she's full HP, it's a tiny dash, but when you get lower, the dash gets bigger, sort of like Warwick Ultimate. And Ultimate Swift Call, marks an enemy champion with 3 marks. The range is Urgot's ultimate. Boy, I bet her fucking Q does a shit ton of damage then. Jesus.
Yeah, it sounds...
Jesus. It sounds like she has one damaging ability, and it's her Q. So, kind of seems nuts. And he says this role is in the... You play this champion in the jungle. Thank you, Levi.
It's... Sounds kind of similar to like Callista, though, where she has one damage ability, really, and it's her E.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, thank you. You got that in at the very last minute. So, well done. And that'll do it for this episode of LeagueCast. If you'd like to check us out on Twitter, it's at LeagueCast and at LeagueCastFrost. On Facebook, we are LeagueCast. Come talk to us on TeamSpeak at ts.leaguecastpodcast.com. There's no password. Alternatively, you can check out our Discord. Discord.com. Jesus Christ. I'm out of it, dude. You can get our Discord link from our website or via our email. Our website is leaguecastpodcast.com. And then you can get our email, mail@leaguecastpodcast.com. You can send us anything and we'll read it on the show. Twitch.tv/bluebasket and /kinglardot are where we stream. Patreon.com/leaguecast is where you can support us financially. Finally, I guess I should announce this at the beginning of the show. I'll announce it next week as well. We got 2 announcements. So the first announcement is that next week, beginning Monday, December 16th, I'll be hosting some in-houses at approximately 6 p.m. Eastern, and it'll go until whenever we want, really. So I've posted a message on our Discord in the general chat. I've pinned it, so go ahead and follow the instructions on there in order to... You don't have to do it to participate there, but to voice your opinion on which days we'll do it. Check that out. And also, we have some scheduling sort of administrative news. Next week, we'll be recording as normal. So we are recording on Wednesday, December 18th. However, the week afterwards, Christmas is Wednesday. So we'll not be recording a show on Wednesday. We'll be recording a show... most likely on December 22nd. That's what we agreed on, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, Sunday, December 22nd. So it'll be kind of a short week. We'll probably aim to do like fun stuff then. Maybe we'll come up with a couple good trivia questions and stuff like that. Because it will be rather short. And then the week afterwards, New Year's falls on the Wednesday. But we will be traveling and... kind of getting prepared for the new year. So we will not be having a show that week. So we'll be skipping a week and then going back to our regularly scheduled recording on January 8th. So I guess to just kind of like sum it up, next week, normal show. Week after, show will be recorded earlier than normal. Week after that, no show. And then back to schedule after that. So thanks. Hopefully I'll announce this next week before the show. So we get it in for everybody. But thanks everyone for listening, and we'll see you next week with episode 409. Bye.
Bye.
Get along, little doggies.